live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at Iron Sharpens Iron. radio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this second day of September 2026. I'm absolutely thrilled to have a returning guest today for the first hour. His name is Dr. Daniel R. Hyde, known more affectionately as Pastor Danny. He is the author and a conference speaker, and associate fellow in practical theology at Greystone Theological Institute in Norristown, Pennsylvania, and pastor of Oceanside United Reformed Church in Carlsbad, California, which is a congregation in the URCNA, the United Reformed Church of North America. And today we are going to be addressing his book, A Christian's Pocket Guide to the Presence of God. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Danny Hyde.
Thanks, Chris. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. And tell our listeners something about Oceanside United Reformed Church in Carlsbad, California.
Great church. Been here for 26 years. Celebrated our 25th last year. Yeah, just love the people here, and people want to come on vacation to the North San Diego area. We literally meet on the beach, so love to have you. I've had lots of beach, many beach baptisms this summer, so it's been a great summer.
Now, when you say you literally meet on the beach, you mean you don't have a building? You actually meet on the sand there?
Our building is literally on the beach, so
okay.
Right overlooking the ocean, like
wow,
50 yards.
Great. Well, praise God. Well, if anybody is interested in visiting Oceanside United Reformed Church in Carlsbad, California, but whether you live in that area, whether you are going to be traveling through that area, or you have, if you have family, friends, and loved ones in that area, and you want to pass on the website of this church to them, it is OceansideURC.org, OceansideURC.org. You can also go to Daniel R. Hyde's website, which is DanielRHyde.com, DanielRHyde.com. Also joining us today, a returning guest who is going to serve for the first hour as a co-host, interviewing Danny Hyde with me. And then the second hour, he is going to be the primary guest. I'm speaking of Jim Tyson, a biblical counselor, an ordained Presbyterian minister in the Presbyterian Church in America, also known as the PCA. And he's the area director of the Central Pennsylvania Christian Businessmen's Connection, known as CBMC. And when we begin the second hour with him, we're going to be addressing finding your gospel voice, being equipped to share your faith without fear. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you back as well to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Jim Tyson.
Great to be with you again, Chris.
All righty. Well, let's begin with Danny. Just out of curiosity, I know that you have written another book And the theme of that book sounds like it could be similar to this one. The book of which I am speaking that was published by Reformation Heritage Books, God With Us. How much does this new book of yours, The Presence of God, have in common with that?
Well, it has in common that Jesus is the center of the story. But that other book you're mentioning, great book as well. That one's on the person and work of Christ, especially on his incarnation, that God became a man. What does it mean for us as believers? Why is it important? How is it different from views of Christ, say, for example, in Islam? But this book is a little sort of mini tour of the whole Bible, so a biblical theology starting in Genesis, ending up in Revelation, and showing us how God is present in all the twists and turns, all the peaks and valleys of his people, whether in paradise, in the fall, in the person of Jesus, in the incarnation. So there's a little bit of overlap there, but also in the church, the Christian, and in the consummation of all things. So yeah, I mean, my books try to obviously proclaim Christ in all the wonder of who he is to people who are not believers yet, are believers looking to grow, strong believers looking to disciple, encourage others. So hopefully it's a good book that people can pick up and learn what Christ is.
Amen. And as you know, Danny, that throughout history, in fact, throughout the history of the world, when men have craved to know the presence of God, if they are not truly among his people, they have taken directions that displeases God greatly. You have idolatry that has been rampant throughout the history of the world because men crave the presence of God and invent ways to feel that way and to believe that they are closer to him. Even within Christendom, in the Church of Rome and Eastern Orthodoxy, you have rampant idolatry. You have in Rome the statuary, and in Eastern Orthodoxy, you have the icons, sometimes in buildings far more ornate than even Rome's buildings. That craving for the presence of God has to be done in a way that honors God truly, and it is compatible with his word. Isn't this true?
It is true. Yeah, it is true. And try to mention in the book that the presence of God is not a place, but it's a person. It's found in Jesus, and we can experience that not by chasing a feeling, but by knowing his face. The Old Testament language for presence is the and translated in the older translation, this face, so God's face, which shines upon us and can be known in the face of Christ. And we can see that and hear that and experience that presence and that face of Jesus in his word and sacraments, prayer, fellowship of his people, the love of his church. So, yeah, God wants us to search for him, to find him, and we have assurance that we can actually know where to find them. Again, it's not in a place or a building, you know, but it's in the person of Jesus Christ through faith.
Yes, and you live, as you were describing at the very outset of the program, in a breathtaking, gorgeous area of our country, right on the beach, as is even indicated in the very name of your church, Oceanside United Reformed Church. Now, Christians can enjoy knowing the presence of God, walking on the beach in a beautiful place like Carlsbad, California, or somewhere in the mountains, in the woods, in the forests, and anywhere where the beauty of God's creation is so palpably visible. And There is a different sense, however, isn't there, when you are seeking the presence of God by enjoying his creation, and when we have the promised presence of God in the gathering of his people and the receiving and giving of the ordinances.
Yes, and try to mention in the outset of the book some key distinctions in theology. Try to do it in a simple way, but basically since early times, the time of the medieval church and the Reformation, post-Reformation, Puritan era, there's a distinction that we can make in the Bible because God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. We can experience him, like you said, on the sand, or whether we're at the peak of a mountain, we can sense that presence, know that he's there. But there's a different sense in which God promises to be. And so different theologians make it lots of different ways, but in general, there's a sort of a general sense of God's presence, you know, his essence as God, but there's also a very particular gracious presence where he promises to be in a particular place at a particular time. It could be on the beach, because wherever two or three are gathered in Jesus' name, that's where he's present. But I like to tell my church that he's, quote unquote, more present with us in this building 50 yards outside of the sand than he is over there, in the sense that he promises to be near to us whenever we open the word in a congregation, in an assembly. And that assembly, like I said, could be, you know, it could be in a cave, in a cathedral. It doesn't have to be, you know, in a church building, but it's wherever God's people are gathered in his name to crack open the Bible and to receive his gifts and his grace. So, yeah, there's a difference between his essential general presence, his omnipresence, and his sort of gracious covenant promised presence.
Now, is there a special way that God's omnipresence is manifest when partaking in the Lord's Supper? We who are Reformed have historically disagreed with Rome and their understanding of transubstantiation, that the elements of the Eucharist actually become the physical body and blood of Christ. And in fact, in Rome, the host actually becomes the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. They worship the host. And I was raised Roman Catholic. I was an altar boy. And when we even entered into the sanctuary of a Roman Catholic church building, we were told to genuflect, which is like a half kneel, because we were being taught that Jesus Christ was physically present on the altar of that church. Now, we, as Reformed Protestants, we reject that, and we also reject the milder but still erroneous understanding of our Lutheran brethren. I can call our Lutheran brethren, where I don't feel I have the liberty to do so with Roman Catholics. But how do we, as Reformed Christians, have this unique presence of Jesus Christ among us during the celebration of the Lord's Supper?
Wow, that's a great question. Better men than myself have said things like John Calvin said when he was trying to explain the so-called mode of Christ's presence. In other words, you know, how exactly can he be present like he's promised at the same time he has ascended? So how do we understand that mode of his nearness, of his presence? He says in his Institutes of the Christian Religion that it's better to experience it than to understand it, because whereas Rome likes to use Aristotle in philosophical ways to explain that. And even Lutheran brothers and sisters in the Lutheran Book of Concord use Aristotle to try to describe the various modes of presence. I would say, you know, the Reformed position is a much simpler position, that we take Christ at his word, that he promises to be near to us when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, communion, together in assembly of his people with the word being proclaimed. And we pray and we trust that the Holy Spirit makes Christ real to us, as it were, present to us. You know, sometimes it's described as, you know, Christ doesn't come down, but we go up in a sense. You know, but again, there's lots of ways to explain that. But I think the simplest way is just we want to believe by faith in Christ, just like we do for our justification, to trust in him as well in our sanctification and the various means in which he's making us more and more like him. And communion is one of those ways. And so we can just simply believe and we can trust. And there's a mysterious way in which he's near to us. And that mystery, of course, Jesus tells us is the Holy Spirit. And so he's left not his church, but not as orphans, and sent us another helper to be near to us, to apply Christ, to make him near, to bring his word to our hearts, to impress upon us his grace, to assure us that he is near in our times of trouble. So. Yeah, it's better to experience it, in my opinion, than it is to fully grasp and comprehend exactly how it is.
I'm going to give our listeners our email address if they would like to join us with a question of your own. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, city and state and country of residence. Throughout your book, which is a brief book, I would highly recommend our listeners, especially if you are in a position of authority in your congregation where you can fill tract racks and other places in your church narthex or lobby with small size books, this would be an ideal book for that, to give away to the congregation, to give to visitors. It's small enough and brief enough where people, even novices in the faith, or perhaps even unbelievers visiting a church, would be more willing or likely to pick up a briefer treatment of something like this and begin reading through it. But you go through the presence of God, even in the old covenant, that we find in the various prominent places of the Hebrew scriptures. And then you work your way all the way up through our present day in the new covenant. But if you want to highlight some of those areas that you believe are most important in your book, where you do explain the presence of God, how it was manifest in the old covenant to begin with.
Sure. Yeah, it's obviously a huge topic. I mentioned at least one Old Testament scholar thinks that God's presence is the theme of the Bible, that God has promised to be our God and we as people. And so this nearness is found all throughout. And I was just telling this to a group of people, just to encourage them. Hey, my book's short, but I would encourage you next time you read through the Bible, just have a little chart, or a notebook, or whatever. And as you're reading through it, just mark down all the times where God shows up, all the times where God promises to be somewhere. He comes to deliver. He helps, and you'll just be overwhelmed. It's so big. So I tried to break it down into like little sections of the garden, Noah, Abraham, you know, the wilderness, the exile, right? The tabernacle temple, you know, so it goes through the whole of the Bible in a very short way. It was an early medieval theologian, by the name of Gregory the Great, said the Bible was shallow enough for lambs to drink and deep enough for elephants to wade. And so the Bible's a big book, and it's great and grand enough for theologians to get lost in it, but also simple enough for us. And so try to bring that out and show God is present in the garden. He's present by his word. He's speaking and communicating with our first parents. And even in judgment, after they've sinned and rebelled against him, he shows up and he's near to them. He's near to Noah and his family again by his word. He's speaking and communicating. And amazingly, there's little glimpses of his presence where Adam and Eve get Noah and his family, excuse me, get into the ark. And it tells us that the Lord shut the door behind them. It's amazing. Just right. Amazing. All these little kind of pictures, also those bigger ones, like the whole entire tabernacle complex and the temple are all meant to show us the presence of God, whether it's the colors of the tapestries, the designs on those tapestries. You know, there's a great curtain that walls off the outside from the inside, and there's another curtain that walls off that inner room from the most inner room, the Holy of Holies. And these have engraved embroidered, that is, cherubim, angels, palm trees, pomegranates, and so forth, all meant to picture the garden and be sort of a picture of that presence of God that was in the garden that's now has some limited access to priests. And then even, as I mentioned, I spent a little bit of time on the exile because it's one of the most important events of the Old Testament. The Exodus and the exile, I would probably argue, the two greatest events. And the Israelites, you know, are incomplete. Their jaws have been sort of dropped to the ground in awe and wonder at the fact that they're now trudging across the desert into a foreign land. And one of the great stories is the story of the prophet Ezekiel, where when God threatens to send them into exile, he shows that to them in a very tangible way when the glory of God, which was a cloud or a fire, like the pillar in the wilderness, that glory cloud, that fire of God, ascends, you know, lifts up out of the Holy of Holies from the Ark of the Covenant. And that glory of God, we're told in Ezekiel 10, goes east, follows them, just like the glory of God followed them throughout the wilderness. In the Exodus story, God's glory followed them out into exile to Babylon, and he was there with them. And he describes himself as being like a little sanctuary for them. Although they're outside the promised land, they don't have the temple anymore, they have God. God is the sanctuary. He's the dwelling and the presence right amongst them. So just really amazing. And one of the great little things, just as a little kind of teaser for people to grab the book, is think about the Old Testament. When God leaves the temple, goes east into exile, when the Israelites return back into the promised land in the days of Ezra, Nehemiah, and the minor prophets, ask yourself this question: where in this part of the Old Testament, the last parts of it before the New Testament, where does that glory of God that was in Babylon, where are we told that glory ever goes back into the Holy of Holies? And I'll leave it at that. You have to answer that question yourself. But my little hint would be: ask that question. It might be sort of, you know, racking your brain, and then you open your Bible to Matthew chapter 2. What does it say about the Magi? What does it say about the place where Jesus, this little child, was being cared for by his mother? So leave it at that. That's a little snippet of God's presence, but it's really amazing. Just a wonderful story, and you'll see how it all ties together.
Amen. Well, let me go to a listener question that has come in from Rosemary in Corona, Queens, New York. And Rosemary says, you are very rightly pointing out false religions, even within Christendom, that have dealt with the issue of discovering and experiencing the presence of God in unbiblical and even anti-biblical ways, like the idolatry which exists in Roman Catholicism and Eastern Orthodoxy. But I think we must not overlook the same kind of falsehoods that are perhaps manifest in different ways in evangelicalism, like in many of our Pentecostal and charismatic brothers and sisters churches. For instance, the way that they are claiming they experience the presence of God very often is determined on the level of goosebumps they receive on their arms. Yeah, I think that's a very true and fair comment / question. Do you have any comments on that, Danny?
Yeah. So everybody, you know, has their experience, and I'm no different. And every single thing that I've ever written, of course, comes out of my experience. You can't get out of our past, what have been, how we've been raised, and so forth. So my dad was brought to the Lord Jesus Christ in the 1970s, so the Jesus movement here in Southern California, Calvary Chapel movement. And later on, as he walked away, fell away, came back to the Lord, and I was saved when I was a teenager in the Foursquare Church. And later on, I was a youth pastor in a Pentecostal church. And so my experience of these themes of, you know, the presence, chasing the presence, pursuing the presence of God, experiencing the presence of God. I think it was when I was in college, the Experience in God Study Bible came out because of that famous book on experiencing God. And so a part of what I am trying to not just trace the Bible and give you sort of a Bible study, but also throughout stopping off and saying, here's how this impacts, you know, normal life, and here's where we can go off the rails, go off the straight and narrow, is on this very thing. And so, like I said at the very beginning, you know, I try to make the contrast between chasing a feeling and seeking a face. So the scriptures call us to seek the face, the presence of God, and not to just chase after feelings. And there's a lot, there's just too many believers who are tossed to and fro by all the various winds of doctrines and movements and experiences and the next great celebrity pastor, the next great this, the next great that. And I describe that as chasing a feeling. And there's just way too much of that in modern Christianity, especially in the U.S. versus what does the Bible say? Seek the Lord, seek his face and his presence forevermore. And how do we do that? Well, we do that through faith, by embracing Christ and by continually coming to know him better in and through his word, by embracing him in a tangible way in the sacraments of baptism and communion, by coming to him in prayer, giving him our needs, by experiencing his love through his people and his fellowship. So those are the ways where he's called us and promise to be with us and near us, and not to chase feelings, not to chase the next great experience. Because if you keep doing that, you're just going to be like a dog chasing his tail. It's never going to end, and you're never going to come to a moment of rest spiritually. You're always going to be restless and chasing and pursuing. We should pursue God, but we need to pursue him on his own terms, which he lays out for us in his word.
Amen. Well, by the way, Rosemary, my guest today, Dr. Daniel R. Hyde, is going to be speaking in Manhattan in the near future, and Corona is only somewhere between 6 and 8 miles away.
Yeah. You can find the details of that if you just go to my website, DanielRHyde.com. There's a little tab under the heading of contact, and you'll see a list there of my upcoming speaking outside of my church. And one of those is October the 4th at Christ Church, New York City.
Well, that's coming up real quick.
Yeah.
And we have to go to our first commercial break right now. If you also would like to submit a question to Dr. Danny Hyde, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, city and state, and country of residence. Don't go away. We will be right back right after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession. We embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net, or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Welcome back. If you just tuned us in, our guest today is Dr. Daniel R. Hyde, and he is discussing his new book, A Christian's Pocket Guide to the Presence of God. If you have a question, you may submit it to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. And my co-host today, Jim Tyson, who is the area director of Christian Businessmen's Connection in central Pennsylvania. He has a question for Dr. Hyde, and you may ask your question, brother.
Yeah, hey, Danny. It's interesting how the Lord brings people together. We have a very parallel track. I graduated with my BS from Valley Forge Christian College, the Assemblies of God Bible College in the King of Prussia area, and did my MDiv at Westminster in Philadelphia. as this may be a little bit nuanced, but as I'm hearing you talk about the presence of God, I'm just wondering, how do you see this interact with our union with Christ and that concept?
Yeah. It's one of those wonderful truths that still try to wrap my head around after all these years, being like that in-ness language, which I try to explain to my church as best I can. It's describing a vital fellowship, closeness, intimacy that we have with Jesus, and Paul describes that as being in him. So, but at the same time, he's also, he's in us. I'm preaching on Romans 8 right now, and I just preached this past Sunday on the section where it says that the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, the Spirit, describes him three different ways, is in us. But then he also says Christ is in us. And so if you say the Spirit is in us, let's say Christ is. So, just like understanding, like, the presence is not a feeling, an emotion, a vibe, as it's called today, but it's a close, personal, the closest, the most personal, way of relating to God that we can understand as creatures. So he brings us into union with him, near to him, close to him, in him, but at the same time, he in us. Amazingly, and by the power of the Spirit, is communicating to us all of those treasures and riches and blessings and graces, goodness that he has for us. So
you know, just like Professor Murray said back in the days, that union with Christ was, you know, the great blessing, and all the other blessings flow from it, right? It's sort of a catch-all category to describe as best, you know, humanly possible we can, what it means to be joined to Jesus, and for him to be in us, and for us to experience him. So just like I would say, union with Christ is that overarching blessing from which all the blessings of the gospel come to us. The presence of God, or the presence of Christ, the presence of the Holy Spirit, you know, is a overarching way of describing that relationship that we have with the Lord, that he's with us, near to us, but also in us, even in the valley of the shadow of death.
Okay, we have a question from a fellow Californian. We have Lynette in Encinitas, California. I hope I'm pronouncing that right.
Right down the road.
Oh, wow.
Right down the street.
Lynette says, do you have any counsel on how to comfort a brother or sister in Christ who may be experiencing what has become known as the dark night of the soul? They may be walking with Christ as far as you can tell. They may be an obedient believer and a true believer, but they feel as if God has abandoned them and are in a state of serious depression. How can we help lift them out of that by letting them know how they can truly experience the presence of God?
Yeah, it's a big one. It's a personal one. And what I would say is, I told this to somebody recently who asked me something similar, not exactly the same thing, but something similar. Number one, just for you to communicate in an empathetic way, your understanding, your own personal closeness, you know, perhaps to this person. And I was telling somebody, and I would say the same thing as well to Lynette, is that how can I as a pastor talk about God's presence if I'm not present myself? And so, you know, it's not about just sort of cognitively explaining things and hoping they'll snap out of it and, you know, get some experience. It's being present, being near, expressing, you know, love, concern, empathy. And then number two, obviously prayer. We believe that the Lord uses prayer. It's the means by which we talk to God and we communicate to him and we express ourselves. And I would say, you know, to a brother or sister who is in that dark night of the soul, that the Psalms are a great place for us to even read and pray aloud during those times. I recently preached through Psalm 88, which is the darkest Psalm. It literally ends with the word darkness. It seems like there's no hope, but this is a prayer of a believer. This is a prayer of a person who is in relationship with the Lord. And so, you know, praying out those Psalms to the Lord in those dark times, it's what saints and sinners have been doing for thousands of years. And so you expressing your own presence with that person, encouraging, you know, you praying for them, but also encouraging them to pray, even those low moments, those darkest, lowest, harshest, most oppressing Psalms, is a way for us to experience the nearness of God. And I would also say, just as a pastor, as a sort of practical, you know, thing is, when we feel, those low points, when we feel, even sort of a chronic depression, a long-term, habitual sense that God has left us, abandoned us, is not near to us. We still need to be in fellowship, hearing the word, praying, receiving, for us in the Reformed tradition, receiving the Lord's Supper, so important, and to continue to persevere in those means, as they're called, the means of grace. They're the ways through which God, you know, works and speaks and communicates and helps. They're means, they're instruments, they're, methods of his presence. And so, yeah, I mean, there's a lot more to say, and it's hard to say it, on a screen, but you're an ensign to this. I'm in Carlsbad. I encourage you to come to the Oceanside URC. We'd love to chat with you. Encourage you. I'm happy to be an encouragement. And if this dear brother is close as well, love to meet up and just listen and see what the Lord can do, just to encourage. Lots of Christians experience that, and it's hard, but it's real, and we can take comfort that even in those low points, the Lord is near. And at some point, we do trust that He'll sort of break through, and we'll have a better sense of His presence and His nearness. So, yeah, I would just encourage you in those ways. If you're able to make your way from Encinitas to Carlsbad, 10, 15 minutes to come to the Oceanside URC.
All righty. And by the way, I think I may have forgotten to tell Rosemary, but also to let you know, Lynette, both of you have won a free copy of A Christian's Pocket Guide to the Presence of God. And this is thanks to our very generous friends at Christian Focus who have published this book. They have been a very dear friend to Iron Trip and Zion Radio for many years, especially during our biannual pastors' luncheons, where they give away hundreds of free books to our pastors that gather at these events, including the one that's coming up on October 1st. So thank you, Christian Focus. So I'm going to need Rosemary and Lynette, I'll need your full mailing addresses. We have Tyler in Madison, Connecticut. Tyler says, just to follow up on the answer you gave to the listener in California about how to counsel someone experiencing deep depression and a feeling of abandonment by God, isn't it also wise that we would ask questions to the person we are seeking to counsel and comfort that relates to the genuineness of their faith? Not that we would accuse them of being false converts, but just ask them to draw out from them where they really stand in their relationship with God. I think that's a fair question.
Sure. I don't know the person, but I am also sensitive enough to take to heart the language of the prophets, to not snuff out a smoldering wick, or to snap into a broken twig. So those are sensitive questions. They're tough. And when a person is down, don't want to feel like you're accusing or making them feel even more down. But to point them to Jesus and to the provision He's made and the means that He's given, to encourage people and to encourage their souls.
Amen. Well, thank you, Tyler. And make sure we get your full mailing address as well, because you've also won A Christian's Pocket Guide to the Presence of God. Well, I know that you could only be on with us for an hour today, Danny, and I want to make sure, before I go to any other listener question, that you highlight some of the things you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today about the presence of God.
Yeah, thanks. At the very end of the book, after I trace this theme, wonderful theme, through creation to the new creation, I want to tell people that this is a very practical reality, and we live as believers under and before the face of God. There's not a moment that goes by, not a day that goes by, no matter our feelings, that the Lord, His eye is not upon us, and we're not the apple of His eye. So we live before Him, and to know that should empower us and fill our hearts with love and joy for Him in whatever we're called to do. And again, to mention the language of the Bible, which is the gathering language, and I connect at the end of the book the language of Jacob when he wrestled with God, and he called that place Bethel, who was the house of God. And he said, surely God is in this place. And the Apostle Paul actually says that in the New Testament, Rabbi Saul, Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians 14, when he says that unbelievers can come into the assembly of God's people. And when they hear the secrets of their hearts unfolded, they will come to know the Lord and to say that the Lord is in this place. And so when we gather as believers to worship, we're gathering first and foremost in the presence of God, before his face, where he has promised, you know, to be, in a special, gracious, covenant type of way. And we can know, for certain that when we've heard his word, when we've prayed, when we've sung, when we've, had fellowship and been encouraged, when we see baptisms, when we participate in the Lord's Supper, we can surely know that God is in this place. And so, again, I don't want people to be on that hamster wheel of searching and pursuing and trying to find something that they already have. They already have that in Jesus Christ. And so that should be the biggest encouragement of all, is that this face of God, this presence of God, not just with us in a general sense, generic sense, but near to us in a special, gracious sense, and that you already have that as a believer. And coming to awareness of that, you know, it's another thing, but you already have that in Jesus Christ. And so he's given you the various means. And so assemble, gather with other believers to be reminded of that and to be encouraged in that.
Great. And we do have an anonymous listener who has asked, do you have any advice on how one can approach their elders because you believe that the presence of God in the gathered assembly is not something manifest as powerfully as it could be, and worship services have become very lifeless, dry, and mundane?
Yeah, that's a tough one. Only because I don't know the situation, and I wouldn't want to step on people's, some other elders and presume anything. But what I would say is, in my experience, and I think the experience of generations, you know, that sense can be true, even in churches that read the Bible, preach the Bible, sing. Pray, you know, we can do all the right things. And, you know, we can reject all the idolatries and all the false ideas of presence and so forth that we talked about, and do all the right stuff, but still we can, you know, not have the full sense of the presence of God. And, in my experience, I've always found that, is due to two things, which would be lack of prayer and a lack of love. And so, I don't know the situation, but I would just encourage you to view it from the point of view of stirring up your congregation to pray more for God's presence to be manifested and known in the preaching of the word, in the Lord's Supper, in prayer. But also in love. Jesus tells us that our love for one another, it's the great evidence that God has sent his son for us. It's the evidence that he's near to us. And so, again, you can have all the right stuff going on, all the outward stuff, but if we don't have any love, as Paul says, we're just playing gong in a noisy cymbal. So we have to have prayer, and we have to, because we're dependent upon God, and love for one another, because without that, we're nothing.
Amen. And we have time for at least one more question from a listener, Dell in Dunwoody, Georgia. And Dell says, isn't it also important to remind our hearers about the omnipresence of God and the fact that he is near in light of striking fear into the hearts of even Christians who may be living in disobedience, not thinking they are somehow pulling it over on God?
Sure. That language and idea that God, is near to us, his omnipresence, sure, that has to be proclaimed, but it has to be taught, it has to be pressed upon the hearts of God's people. But I would say, we don't also want to use that, as a law, as a stick to beat people. God's presence, his face towards his people, is a gracious thing. When God removes his face, that's what you don't want. And so, that's the language of the Old Testament, is praying that God would not turn his face, right? Take not your spirit, turn not your face from me. So, I would want to be really careful, not confusing the law and the gospel, confusing God's face, which should be a gracious thing, which is a gracious thing in the face of Christ, and turning that into sort of a cudgel, turning into a whip, a stick, a way to beat the sheep. No, the presence of God is a gracious thing. And so, sure, there are times where believers need to be stirred up. They need to be reminded. And what I would say is, say, Revelation 2 and 3, the exhortation should be not God is looking at you, be afraid, but be afraid because Jesus has said he could remove the lampstand. And so we don't want that. We want the Lord to be present with us. And so, again, repenting, turning, praying, being full of love, so that presence of the Lord is experienced.
Now, before you go, I was curious, even in your years of gospel ministry, has your own understanding and appreciation of the presence of God changed and transformed and grown?
Absolutely, yeah. The very, very opening of the book, I mentioned that this theme really, really hit me. Christian Focus actually asked me, I was asked by Michael Morales, Dr. Morales, to write this book quite a while ago. And I've written many books. It's never been a trouble for me to write books, but for some reason I was at a block. I was behind, and I kept, getting the emails saying, "Hey, where's your book?" And so, yeah. So what I decided to do was, I said, "Well, I'm going to preach a series of sermons on this theme, and that'll stir me up to more reading and more, thoughtfulness, note taking. Perhaps out of that, I'll be able to, come up with something." So it was in that process, in that series of sermons, did like a 12-week series. It was during our 25th anniversary year. That really struck me as, wow, this is all throughout the Bible. Every page of the Bible, we can see the presence of God, and how did I miss this, as a theme, as a major theme of the Bible? And so, I feel like that was like my best preaching in 25 years was that, because it was not like it wasn't because I had these great new ideas. It wasn't because I was so eloquent or whatever, passionate. It was that I was struck by the wonder of who God is, and to see this on every page of the Bible, and to just open up story after story after story, and to show people, wow, look what God did, look at how he was towards these, sinners and saints and scoundrels, and he's the same God for you yesterday, today, and forever. So, yeah, I try to open the book by saying, this was something that I was, right in front of my face the entire time, but it just stuck out and was made just vivid for me in that series of sermons. And at that point, when I finished those sermons, I had so many notes that I had to so many things I had to cut out because I was so excited about it and I was so passionate about what I did. So hopefully that comes across in the book. Hopefully people are stirred up to know the Lord better, to know their Bibles better, and to be able to share the gospel
with more passion.
And those sermons, I believe they were available on YouTube and perhaps even on other places.
Yep. They are, yeah. I mean, I think I mentioned the book, you know, a book version doesn't compare to the YouTube version, which doesn't compare to the real thing. So
right. You
never get the real thing.
Right.
you'll get a faint copy on YouTube and an even fainter copy in the book, but hopefully something of that presence of God, you know, and that joy spills over.
Well, just look up in the search engine of YouTube, Oceanside United Reformed Church in Carlsbad, California, and you will find that series of sermons. Don't forget about the website of Oceanside United Reformed Church of Carlsbad, California, which is oceansideurc.org. OceansideURC.org, and Dr. Daniel R. Hyde's personal website is DanielRHyde.com, DanielRHyde.com, and don't forget about Christian Focus, who published this wonderful book, A Christian's Pocket Guide to the Presence of God. Christian Focus's website is ChristianFocus.com, ChristianFocus.com. Thank you so much, Dr. Hyde, for being able to carve out an hour of your busy schedule to be on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio again. And I look forward to...
Yeah, I appreciate it.
And I look forward to, hopefully, at some point in the near future, seeing you at a Bible conference again or something to that effect.
Yeah, that'd be fun. So, at some point.
Great. When God chooses that time to be. And don't go away, folks, because we are going to continue the program now with my friend Jim Tyson, the Area Director for Christian Businessmen's Connection in Central Pennsylvania. And he is going to be discussing a very important topic that is also the theme of an upcoming workshop that he is hosting. And that is on the theme, Finding Your Gospel Voice. Has nothing to do with singing like Mahalia Jackson. It has to do with being equipped to share your faith without fear. So don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, brother.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the Word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And the owners of RoyalDiadem.com love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio so much that not only do they provide for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financial support every month automatically, on top of that, RoyalDiadem.com gives Iron Sharpens Iron Radio the mind-blowing bonus of 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners simply by those listeners mentioning Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when they purchase their jewelry from RoyalDiadem.com. So whether you are purchasing jewelry that they already have in stock at RoyalDiadem.com, or if you are having a one-of-a-kind, customized piece of jewelry designed and created, like an engagement ring, or like taking your church logo, your parachurch ministry logo, your denomination logo, your seminary logo, your business logo, and turning it into a pendant for a necklace or a ring or anything else your creativity or imagination can conjure up in your brain. They will take what's in your brain and turn it into a head-turning, mind-blowing, stunning, breathtaking, brilliant, gorgeous piece of jewelry. And I have seen firsthand the absolute mastery that RoyalDiadem.com has over custom designing jewelry. So whatever your reason for purchasing jewelry and whatever kind of jewelry you are purchasing, please go to RoyalDiadem.com, and that way Iron Sharpens Iron Radio will receive 100% of the profits from that sale. It's RoyalDiadem.com. Before I return to my guest for the second hour, who is Jim Tyson, the area director for Christian Businessmen's Connection here in central Pennsylvania. Before I return to Jim, I want to remind our listeners of the urgent need we have here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio for your financial support. Please, if you love the show and you don't want it to go off the air, go to ironsharpensironradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. Or if you prefer snail mail, mailing a physical check at your local post office to a physical mailing address, there will also be a physical mailing address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, your business, your private professional practice like a law firm, medical firm, or maybe it's just a special event you want to promote, whatever it is, if it's compatible with my beliefs, I would love to help you launch an advertising campaign as quickly as possible, because we are just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So please send me an email to Chris Arnzen at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Chris Arnzen at gmail.com. Chris Arnzen at gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line. Let me put it this way. As much as I am urging you to donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I only want our listeners to do that if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family. I never want anybody in my listening audience to give your own church less money than you normally give your church on the Lord's Day in order to bless us. And please, if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you bless Iron Sharpens Iron Radio with a financial gift. But having said that, if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, and you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and even trivial purposes, well, please share some of that money with us if you really love the show and want it to continue to exist. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. And last but not least, If you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church, no matter where you live on the planet Earth, I may be able to help you find a biblically faithful church, as I have done with many listeners in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience spanning the globe. I have helped people in my audience in the United Kingdom, in the Republic of Ireland, in Germany, in Mexico, in the West Indies, on the African continent. And I could go on and on and on with areas in the world where I have helped my guests find biblically faithful churches, just recently in the Netherlands. And so no matter where you live, please, if you are without a biblically faithful church home, send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. And that's also the email address where you can send in a question to my guest for the second hour of the program, Jim Tyson. He is a biblical counselor and ordained Presbyterian minister in the Presbyterian Church in America and the area director for the Central Pennsylvania Christian Businessmen's Connection, also known as CBMC. And we are going to be addressing finding your gospel voice, being equipped to share your faith without fear. And it's great to have you as my guest for the second hour, Jim Tyson.
It's great to be here with you, Chris.
Why don't you explain to our listeners exactly what is the Christian Businessmen's Connection?
Yeah, so CBMC is a ministry that's been around for 96 years now.
Wow.
Started back in 1930. And it was started by businessmen who knew that God was calling them to minister, but also knew that they weren't being called into vocational ministry, but they recognized that they had a mission field in the marketplace because that's where they were every day. And God had given them that as a mission field. So CBMC was born out of a desire to reach men with the gospel, to evangelize and disciple men in the marketplace. And part of the foundation of CBMC is this idea that the marketplace, and I believe Billy Graham once said it himself, that he believed the next great revival was going to come out of the marketplace, out of the business world. And we know that businesses and such have a tremendous impact on our communities. And if the people who run those businesses, who employ others in those businesses, if their hearts are changed and transformed, what kind of transformation can we see then even in our communities as their lives are changed? So the CBMC is still on that mission. It's a ministry to men. You don't have to be a business owner. You don't have to be a CEO. If you have a job, and even if you're retired, there's a place for you in CBMC because there is wisdom to be shared. And as the name of your radio program says, Chris, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens the wits of another. That's certainly part of the foundation of CBMC, men coming together to walk alongside each other in their faith.
Well, if anybody wants to find out more about the Central Pennsylvania CBMC, where my guest Jim Tyson is the area director, go to centralpa.cbmc.com. That's centralpa.cbmc.com. You care to put in a plug for the PCA congregation where you worship, the congregation within the Presbyterian Church in America? I'm a Reformed Baptist myself, but I always love to promote solid Reformed churches, especially perhaps even within my own area, You're in the York area, so why don't you tell us more about that church?
Yeah, so I attend Providence Presbyterian Church, which is, as you said, in York, just outside of the city. It's been there, well, the building has been there since 1997. It was planted before that. Pastor there is Dr. Vince Wood. And definitely Bible-believing, strong church, lots of love in that church, and really an outreach focus in that church. Good, solid Bible teaching, and it's been instrumental in planting other churches in the area. So I would highly recommend to anybody in the York area to stop in and visit, especially if you're looking for a good, solid Bible-believing church.
And do you happen to have the website for that church?
Yes, it's York PCA. And I'm trying to remember whether it's .com or .org. I'll tell you in 1 second. YorkPCA.org.
I have it right in front of me. YorkPCA.org. Well, as we have already announced, you are going to be holding a workshop, Finding Your Gospel Voice, Being Equipped to Share Your Faith Without Fear. I think that's a very important theme because, from what I understand, statistically, public speaking is something that people fear more than almost anything else, perhaps other than things that are actually life-threatening. And of course, there are places on this globe where proclaiming the gospel is definitely a life-threatening endeavor. But even when people are in the safety of a country like the United States, which, at least a core part of our history, is a constitutional guarantee to enjoy the freedom of religion, although we know that the leftists around us are trying desperately to remove that right from, or those rights, plural, from us. But peoples, nonetheless, even when they don't fear torture and death, they are very fearful very often about proclaiming the faith. On occasion, it is because of the sin of fearing men more than God, fearing hurting the feelings of others, fear of losing a friendship with others. And of course, there are people who even fear losing the closeness of family connections with their own parents, with their siblings, and even their spouses, if their family members and spouses do not share their faith in Christ. So tell us about this very theme in this workshop. What are your main goals and targeted audience for this?
Yeah, well, you hit part of the impetus for it, Chris, is the fear that people have for all of those various reasons. Sometimes it's also feeling that they won't know how to answer a question if somebody asks.
They feel inadequate to explain and defend the gospel appropriately.
Right, exactly. And part of that comes out of a culture that we've been part of, where the evangelist in our mind and in our sight has been the person who's speaking in front of large crowds, and they have lots of people responding, or they're the person who constantly tells you the story of how they were on this airplane or that airplane, and they talked to the person next to them, and that person accepted the Lord. And so in our brain comes this idea that either you have to be a very special person to do it, or you have to be a very outgoing person to do it, and there always has to be a result when you do it. And what I wanted, what I set out to do was to kind of push back against some of that popular thinking about what evangelism is, and go back to the heart and the core of what we're really talking about. So I start the whole workshop. I'm starting the whole workshop, basing it in a solid theological foundation. A couple of names that you might appreciate: R.B. Kuyper, and his book, God-Centered Evangelism, and then J.I. Packer, Evangelism and the Sovereignty of God, looking at what is the real purpose of evangelism. You know, when we look at Matthew 28, 19 and 20, here's that Great Commission, right? The command that's given us. And it's really not a command that's separate from what Jesus tells us. You know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. When you take and live out the Great Commission, you are fulfilling both sides of that. You're loving God because you're doing what he's called you to do, and you're loving other people because you're giving them the life-saving message, right? That Jesus is the way to eternal life. So we want to kind of set that tone, that what we're really doing in evangelism, it isn't about, let me back up. It is about seeing someone come to Christ, but ultimately it's about glorifying God, right? Westminster Shorter Catechism. What is the chief end of man? To glorify God and enjoy him forever.
And I think the Reformed people tend to forget the enjoyment part of it very often.
Right.
Yeah. Even though it is a part of the Westminster Shorter Catechism, it's still something that's forgotten.
Right, right. Well, and think of your last hour's guest, Danny, and the idea of the presence of God. What is part of that? It's so we can enjoy him, right? To enjoy being in his presence, to enjoy him with us. And so how do we change this fear into being joyful over what God has blessed us with, the new life he's given us, and sharing that with other people? And so let's take it back to what its ultimate purpose is. It's to glorify God and find joy in the fact of seeing what he does in other people's lives, right? And the other part of it is, what is he calling us to in this? Is he calling us to get results all the time? God calls us to be faithful. We're not the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who produces the result. We're just called to be faithful to tell it.
Amen. And the part of glorifying God that you mentioned earlier as being even more crucial and vital than the hearer coming to faith and being saved, because that is something that God controls. Even more important than that aspect is the glorifying of God through the public proclamation of his truth and his gospel, and obeying him to proclaim that. And that should give us added boldness to publicly proclaim that message, even if we are rejected, even if we are mocked, and what our message that we are proclaiming is being scoffed and people turn away from us, the main reason we are doing it is not to win souls, although that is a very large part of it, an important aspect of it. That's not first and foremost the reason why we are proclaiming this truth publicly.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. It is for his glory. That's why he calls us in part of this. We oftentimes search for significance and glory on our own, not realizing that his calling us to do something like this lets us partake in his glory as part of what we're doing and gives us a fulfillment and a significance that's far beyond anything we can find in our job or even family or relationships here. All of those are important, but ultimately where we find our true grounding and where we find our true significance is in the Lord himself. And so that's what we're trying to focus toward here.
Amen. Can you describe exactly what will take place at this workshop?
Yeah. So as I thought about this whole process of evangelism and what we've had as our picture of being an evangelist, I connected it with some things that we do in CBMC, one of them called leadership coach training, where we help people learn how to just ask good questions, powerful questions. And powerful questions are not complicated questions, but they're good open-ended questions that really help people to think. Something as simple as "Tell me more" is a powerful question, and we've all seen the books on relational evangelism, and we've seen different ways of here's how you can approach evangelism, and there are lots of tools out there. I think of Evangelism Explosion and things like that. But oftentimes there people will see those and think, oh, I feel like a salesman. I'm supposed to walk up to somebody and just do this, right? And we've missed the point of developing relationship. Even in relational evangelism, oftentimes it's geared toward, again, moving right away into this conversation about the gospel. But what about getting to know somebody and dropping the seeds there? The ones that indicate that, you know, you're a person of faith, the ones that indicate where you look to when you're dealing with struggles and issues and problems. So what I wanted to do was give this good solid foundation. I want it to get people into a mode of just engaging people in good conversation, deeper conversation than just, how are you today? Well, you can answer that with just simply, fine. Let's ask questions that don't let them answer with just yes or no. Let's dig a little bit. Let's see if we can ask questions that give us opportunity to speak into their life a little bit. And let's start to think about what our mission field is. Who are the people around us? I look at it this way. I look at it that we have at least three neighborhoods in many cases. One is our geographical neighborhood, right? Who are the people who live around us? Do we know them? Do we know who they are? That's a mission field, the people in our own neighborhood. Then we have, obviously connected with CBMC, our work neighborhood. Who are the people that we work with? Who are the people that we're engaging with and around all the time? And then finally, we have a social neighborhood, right? If your parents who have kids that play sports, there's a whole social network. If you're involved in any kind of sport or other kind of hobby or whatever, there's a whole other social network that you're part of that. And if you notice, I'm looking at networks that are outside of your church, right? One of the things that happens sometimes is we get really comfortable in our church community, and we kind of tend to isolate there, and we stop thinking about the neighborhoods that are around us that we're part of. So how can we look at that? And we'll have people intentionally think about that, intentionally think about people that they can engage with. We're going to have some role play. How do we start conversations? How do we just engage in conversations? and do this kind of thing. And I'm going to introduce a tool, a very simple tool called the Three Circles. Comes out of a book. There's a book called Turning Everyday Conversations into Gospel Conversations. And one of the tools they use is a simple one called the Three Circles Gospel. So we'll introduce that because if you get to a point in a conversation, in a relationship with someone where you can clearly present the gospel, this is a really simple, easy tool to be able to do that, right? Without lots of script memorization, without, you know, just to be able to talk on a very simple level and do that. But in that process, we want to help people identify where is the person I'm talking to. So CBMC has something called Living Proof, which is our tool for thinking about relational evangelism. And in it, there's an awareness chart, spiritual awareness chart. Where is someone in this chart? Where are they in their relationship, in their connection with God? Are they totally at the bottom? They have no belief at all? Or are they closer? How do we help people become aware of who they're talking to, where they're at? So there's kind of a...
Great, and we are going to our final commercial break. And if you have a question for Jim Tyson about this workshop and about the theme of the workshop in general, which is finding your gospel voice, being equipped to share your faith without fear, send it to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, city and state, and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Jim Tyson after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida,
and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers: Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church in Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvino, and thanks for listening.
Hello, this is Brian Nine, president of Hearts for the Lost Ministry. Our sole mission is to serve the local church and work directly with and alongside pastors and elders with their efforts to equip, excite, and educate their flock in biblical evangelism. We also provide practical experience opportunities in sharing the gospel directly within your immediate community. We accomplish this mission with training and Christ-centered outreach events designed to equip the church and proclaim the good news of the gospel. Our services are always 100% free. If you're looking to equip and mobilize your church for faithful gospel witness, please partner with us. Hearts for the Lost Ministry, serving the church, proclaiming the gospel. Contact us today at heartsfortheloss.com. That's heartsfortheloss.com. Now, have a heart and go share your faith.
Welcome back. We have a listener named Jim, and the listener is in Cokeysville, I don't know how to pronounce that, Maryland. And Jim says, during this workshop, do you plan to differentiate the methodology of declaring the gospel? Even though there is only one gospel, there are certain situations that may require a different approach. You were mentioning earlier about planting seeds when you are developing a relationship and friendship with a neighbor or someone else that does not yet know the gospel. Isn't there a radical difference between that approach and what we would say to a stranger that we will likely never meet again, whether on a train, plane, or automobile, and whether you are speaking in open-air evangelism to a crowd or whether you are speaking to your next-door neighbor at a barbecue?
Yeah, that's a good question. And certainly, because what I don't want to do is minimize the work of somebody like a Greg Laurie, where you have a definite proclamation to people, or the people who are part of their gift is to talk to someone out of the blue on an airplane, present the gospel. And we have to remember the gospel isn't fully presented until the full gospel is presented. That means Christ came, lived a sinless life, was crucified, and took upon himself our sin, died, was buried, and was raised again. That's the fullness of the gospel. So the planting of seeds is the precursor to, in a lot of instances for us, to get to that point where we want, where we ultimately share the gospel. What we're looking to do is share the gospel. Sometimes a person is in a place in our relationship where we're cultivating and actually kind of discipling them in a way to a point to be able to share the full gospel like that. So I don't want to minimize, nor do I want to say, oh, you know, that's never a thing that you do. Absolutely. And, you know, I'm not the extrovert outgoing person who does a lot of that kind of sharing in the airplane situation. And should I say that we never do that? Should I say that that's always acceptable not to do it? You know, now you're getting into to areas that I think are kind of how the Lord is leading us and directing us in situations. So yeah, it's probably not the best answer, but what we're looking at is how do we in everyday life and situations for most people when they're not even thinking about the situation that Jim's talking about, where they're sharing the gospel, definitely. How do you get somebody to just begin, to just step into it, to overcome the fear, to start in the walk of obedience to do it? And that's where we're trying to build that foundation with this workshop, to develop that in people.
Okay, we have Sam in Colonial Park, Pennsylvania. And Sam says, are you going to provide guidance and advice during this workshop on when people should just stop in their gospel presentation and move on to another person, or somehow just bring the conversation to a close?
Yeah, that'll be part of this whole thing. When I was talking about that idea of the spiritual awareness chart, right? Where is somebody on this kind of continuum of spiritual awareness, if you will? If someone is at a point, if you sense its hostility and what it's going to do is become an argument, or then that's not where you want to go. You don't want to start an argument with someone, because that's not going to be productive. Our job isn't to be the Holy Spirit and to beat somebody over the head into submission. Our job is simply to bring the glory of the gospel to someone. Now, will that prevent somebody from suddenly becoming hostile? No. But that's where we learn to be gracious and to step away and to back away from that situation, not out of fear, but out of realization that, and asking the question, is this going to be genuinely productive? This is going to be God-honoring by continuing in this way.
And that also raises the question that every believer faces when they know they are going to be gathered with family who are unbelievers, might be even hostile to the gospel and to biblical Christianity. And Thanksgiving is the classic scene around the dinner table where sometimes ferocious arguments have been sparked by differences on religion, might even cause some people to abruptly leave the table and the house and never return. And there, of course, every holiday, Christmas and Easter and so on. Is it an act of cowardice or lack of concern for your precious loved ones and family members to not share your belief in the gospel at such a gathering if you know that there is almost an ambush situation where people are waiting to pounce on you? I don't mean necessarily physically, although it could be physically, but some people might think that they absolutely have to open up about their belief in the gospel in order to be obedient to God. But what's your thoughts on that?
So I think a lot of it has to do with how are we approaching it, and how are we talking about that faith, that belief. Scripture talks about speaking the truth in love, and I think sometimes that's the nuance that often gets lost, and that's Sometimes our passion for the gospel steps over the line into, I need to be the Holy Spirit and convince this person. And now it becomes a hostile proclamation of the gospel. You know, we can tell people what scripture says is, you know, what it calls sin. Here's what I believe. Here's the truth. And I understand that you don't believe that. And that's your prerogative. I care enough for you to tell you what I think is something that will make a significant change in your life, the ultimate change in your life. And to leave it there. If they're not going to engage in the civil conversation, it's unloving not to tell them, but it's also not loving to try and beat them over the head with it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And do you think it's ever acceptable as a Christian? Let's say the family, and they may be your biological relatives, maybe they're not, I don't know, but the family that has invited you to be a participant in this celebration, in this gathering, if they say to you in advance, Jim, we know that you are one of those born-again Christians, and I am just asking that you leave discussions about religion outside of this gathering. Is it all right for a Christian to say, I will respect your wishes? And if somebody at the table is bringing it up, for you to simply say, out of respect for Bill and Betty, who have asked me not to bring up religious issues at the table, I'm not going to talk about this now, but please feel free to call me or visit me in a different setting so I can discuss these things with you. I mean, is that acceptable as far as an obedient Christian's behavior is concerned?
Yeah. I think in some ways that question becomes one of conscience for you in the situation. You know, what comes to my mind is when the authorities told Peter and the apostles, you know, okay, after we've put you in prison and beat you and all, don't go out and speak about this Jesus anymore. And they said, well, we're going to speak about. Now that's a different situation. I you know, because in that situation, they're out, they're publicly proclaiming. You're talking about a situation where someone's asked you and you want to respect them and show them that grace and kindness. Again, I think it's a matter of conscience, but I think in the scenario you described, I wouldn't necessarily have an issue with that, because someone's asked, you're still, you're not denying, and you're offering them to talk more in a different space.
All righty. Well, please make sure that you let our listeners know more about the most essential details about this event that you are hosting.
Yeah. So it's going to be on Saturday, September 12th. It's going to be an all-day seminar from 8 until 4:30. We will have lunch provided. There is a small registration fee, $25, to cover some of the materials and such, lunch and things like that. It'll be at Providence Presbyterian Church. And you can go to the website, centralpa.cbmc.com, and you'll see an events button in the upper right-hand corner. You click on that, and you'll see a number of events. You can scroll to the Finding Your Gospel Voice event. Click on that. It'll take you to the registration screen for it. That registration will be open until a few days before the event.
Great. Well, thank you so much for being such a wonderful guest today, Jim. I look forward to your return to the show. And I want everybody to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.